And this is just another way to make sure that technology is useful to those who want to use it to make their life easier, but that it doesn't become a weapon against them.
This bill would create a persistent domestic violence offender registry that would be maintained by GBI.
Welcome to Lawmaker Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community.
We're going to look now at legislation to help protect women through the court systems. Joining us is Republican Representative Lisa Hagan of Lyons. She is chair of the House Rural Development Committee. Her other committees include Appropriations, Agriculture and Consumer Affairs, and Transportation. Also here is Democratic Representative Stacey Evans of Atlanta. Some of her House committees include Appropriations, Judiciary, Retirement, and Rules. Welcome to Lawmakers, to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. All right, Chairman Hagan, you have HB 1142. It would tighten how Georgia handles domestic violence offenders, the offenders in particular. How did you come up with the need for this bill?
Well, actually, for me, it was a young lady that I worked with at the Capitol who first brought the idea to me. And we also heard that there is a young woman down in Savannah who started a petition because she heard about the bill that just went into effect, the law that just went into effect in Tennessee in January. So it's the first in the country like it. And so if we can accomplish this here in Georgia, we would be the second. And so it just seems like something that is timely. We're concerned with public safety. We're concerned about families, women in particular, and their children. And so it just seems like something that makes good sense and is the right time for it.
Okay, we'll dig into it a little bit more. Representative Evans, you're co-sponsor on HB 460, and that would exclude from evidence certain communications made between attorney and clients with the client when the client is in prison. So tell us how you got involved in that one.
Sure. So House Bill 460, I think, really sets the record straight to how most people thought it was. When you ask most folks about this bill and they say, what does it do? And we say, well, it protects conversations between folks that are in prison and their lawyers. And most people look shocked and say, I can't believe that's not already the law. So Esther Panich is the lead sponsor on this. It's bipartisan. Chairman Tyler Paul Smith is also a co-signer. And this just sets back what we think is probably the policy that the legislature always meant it to be, that whether you're incarcerated or not, your conversations with your lawyer are confidential. And so it would create an unrecorded line, because right now all the calls that are going in and out of the prison are recorded. And this would set up a system where you have a special line for conversations with your attorney.
So it's bipartisan.
Bipartisan.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit more. Chairman Hagan, the bill would link diversion programs to future accountability. Explain what the diversion programs would be all about.
Sure. Well, currently, a prosecuting attorney can agree that someone who is charged with domestic violence offenses could go into a diversion program, and upon completion of that program, he or she would be, it would not be a conviction. However, in the current language of this bill, that would be included as a first offense. The way the language is written currently is you would not appear on this domestic violence offender registry until your second offense. However, the exception is made for someone who's been through the diversion program. It's not a conviction, but that second encounter would require them to appear on the registry.
So let's talk about the registry then. What exactly would it be?
Sure. This bill would create a persistent domestic violence offender registry that would be maintained by GBI, and upon the second conviction, or the exception you just spoke of, a person would appear on the registry. And the goal is just to create another resource for people as they make decisions about who they want to associate with and who they want to be in relationships with.
I know that there are people who have been in domestic violence situations and then
the person maybe is charged, the person moves into a different domestic violence situation, and another woman or man is affected by it. So that's what you're trying to prevent?
Exactly. That's what we're trying to prevent.
Okay. All right. We'll get into that a little bit more. Let's talk a little bit about another bill. You're a signer on Representative Micaiah McQueen's bill, the Menstrual Data Privacy and Protection Act. What is the reason for that legislation?
So when Roe versus Wade was, when that decision was overturned, obviously that was an earthquake across the country, and rights that women thought were fundamental, our privacy, our right to make decisions, it rocked. And so across the country, you've seen a couple of states, Georgia's not one of them yet, that has passed bills to try to make sure that when women might want to go across state lines where abortion laws are less restrictive, that any kind of period tracker, menstrual tracker, ovulation tracker, that information wouldn't be used against them to potentially be prosecuted in their home states where there may be more restrictive laws. So that's sort of why it started. But I think there's also a more fundamental, maybe more simpler thing to think about. We all use apps, we all use technology, and technology is great till it's not. And this is just another way to make sure that technology is useful to those who want to use it to make their life easier, but that it doesn't become a weapon against them. And so this bill also would say that apps and others that track this information, that they can't sell it. And that if you decide you want that information wiped from the system, that they have to do that right away, that it wouldn't be subject to third-party subpoenas and things of that nature. Just a way to protect privacy in a world where we feel like less and less is sacred and private. And very happy to support Representative McQueen, who's spearheading this legislation this year, and also Representative Park Cannon, who's spearheaded it in prior sessions. This is something that has been talked about for a couple of years now.
And so there are probably people who don't recognize that the apps that they may use for menstrual periods and that kind of thing, that people can get your information if you're in another state. Have there been any people prosecuted, or I guess I'm just unfamiliar with it?
Well, there are only a few states that have passed laws like the Menstrual Data Privacy Act, and it does have provisions in it for civil monetary penalties, for example, for app technology corporations that might misuse the information, that might sell it. But as far as criminal prosecutions for misusing folks' information, not so much. But it is very real. Like right now, there are essentially bounties out on women who there's suspicion that maybe they missed a period and they went out of state to get an abortion. And so much so that if you were trying to serve a third-party subpoena right now in certain states to get, I mean, it could be innocuous as phone records. You have to, and this has happened in my law practice, you have to sign an affidavit only in a few states that have done this, that you have to testify in an affidavit that you are not seeking information to use against a woman who might have been seeking to exercise her reproductive freedom rights that might exist in other states but may not exist in her home state. So this is newer because Roe v. Wade being overturned is still, it's been several years now, but it's still a new phenomenon. And I think the laws are trying to catch up to make sure that as much as possible, we are protecting women in this new environment.
Okay, we'll keep up with that bill. I want to ask you, Chair Hagan, would names stay on this domestic violence registry forever?
No, they wouldn't. That's a good question. The way it is written right now, upon multiple convictions or additional convictions, that time would increase. But after a period of time with no additional convictions for domestic violence offenses, that person could be eligible to roll off of the registry and be removed by GBI.
Yeah, so GBI would keep all the records on all of this, mm-hmm. all over the state. So.
That's right, right. Yeah. Upon a conviction, the clerk in the county where the conviction occurred would submit that information to the GBI, and they would maintain that registry.
What kind of reaction are you getting?
I'm getting very positive reactions to people, from people, victims, survivors, advocates, directors of domestic violence shelters and sexual assault centers have been very supportive. My fellow colleagues in the legislature have been very supportive about it. It seems like it's, especially with the advent of dating apps, things happening online, it seems like it's the right time to take care of that.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the gold dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.